Hi everybody, welcome to Founders Grid, and we have Marcel here with us today. Hi Marcel, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Good evening.
Good evening.
Or good morning, wherever you are.
Right, so let's get on with the questions. How about you introduce yourself?
Sure. Marcel Roelands, I'm here in Amsterdam in the Netherlands. It's getting dark outside. I think on your side it's still a little bit earlier in the day. Currently, I've been working with startups quite a bit, helping them from startup to become scale-ups, using a lot of lean startup methodology, working a lot of remote development people and all these kind of things. Before 7 years, I was in charge of Mastercard and established the Mastercard Dutch operations and country office, and basically have grown that from 2% market share to almost 90% of the Dutch market. And before that, I also worked for another large American company, GE, General Electric, in several different locations in Europe, in several under several circumstances, as well as in the US. So I dealt a lot with factory workers. I dealt a lot with remote workers. I dealt a lot with running P&Ls from a distance, all kinds of circumstances from a diversity perspective.
Interesting, interesting. What was growing Mastercard like? And was that remote or was that an in-person experience? What was it all about?
Mastercard was actually just after the IPO becoming a more corporate environment before it was actually owned by the banks. So it really became from a very rigid organization in a far more what they wanted to be entrepreneurial startup-like kind of company and using technology of payments into mobile payments and new developments. But to be honest, I think the whole fintech development is kind of long bad to bring innovations to the market and succeed. And specifically, I think in a two-sided market where you have people on one side that need to pay and people on the other side that need to receive, I think remote working as well as new innovations are quite challenging. And that's true for Mastercard, but that's as much true for fintech startups from that perspective.
Right, interesting insight there. So your point on how it is challenging, how about you elaborate on that? Because is it a personal experience or is it something that you see that it a lot of people have a similar viewpoint?
I think it depends a lot in what kind of organizational structure you are. What I've seen specifically with large corporates, corporates by itself are very rigid in meeting structures, needing meetings to solve issues from other meetings. What works to a certain extent remote, but if you then run from one Zoom into the next Zoom into the next Zoom, I think you're totally brain dead by the end of the day. What I have learned by dealing with more startup communities for the last 7 years, that it is by far not as rigid that you have that many meetings. Then using the whole concept of lean startup and developing MVPs drives you to much faster discussion points and decisions and experiments, and then the experience by itself becoming discussions of how you think things forward. But you also take information and you go with it, you find out if it works, and then you move on till you find out you have a dead street and you go back as fast as you can. So I think there's a lot more outside work, there's a lot more quick discussions, stand up and win meetings in the startup environment than what I've seen in the corporate world, just to compare the two. And I think that makes it moving forward, and the excitement of the momentum makes it far more exciting in the startup environment than in companies that are still thinking in a more rigid way.
So one Zoom call after another, one Zoom meeting after another, now this would be your personal experience and your personal journey. What's more exhausting, I would say, the pros and cons of a Zoom meeting as opposed to an in-person meeting? You know, what is more conducive? for a work environment, whether it's for a startup or a traditional business? Plus, you know, how do you handle all that?
I'm not sure you compare it apples to apples in that way. I think if you would say I think it depends a lot of the content of the meeting. What I've experienced in a more startup-like or in a more experienced organization, if you want, I can take a GE example as well, where I was running a team of technical sales engineers around Europe selling commercial finance deals. If you deal with a lot of experienced people, then the calls becoming far more coaching-like and supportive-like rather than controlling-like and education type of call. So I think it depends of the kind of people in your organization that I think would make the difference. If you have a lot of Zoom calls, but you are in a coaching role and you're asking the people what to do, and it becomes constructive discussions where people come with ideas and feedback, then I think it's very exciting. And then Zoom calls and one after the next one is not a problem. Mm-hmm. But the same thing is true for meetings where you do a lot of brainstorming and a lot of people participate. When it becomes hard, I think if you have to do a lot more educational kind of things, and then I think it's sometimes hard to do from a distance. Where it becomes harder, I think, in the bit of brainstorming startup environment where you are in the early days, where it needs a lot of creativity and one would stimulate the other to add ideas to it. We have done it with post-it note on virtual whiteboards. But then it becomes still a bit of an isolated, everybody sticks a sticky note on there and then you discuss it afterwards. I think as soon as you're in one room, there is more energy going around that drives creative involvement of a lot of people. So I think it depends more of the people and the circumstances than the type of company, if you want.
So it's all about energy exchanging and feeding off of each other that way.
That definitely helps a lot. I think if you manage remotely and I think everybody is more involved and responsible, then it's a lot of easier to delegate and use the calls to stay aligned and share ideas. I think it becomes a total different environment of rebound management.
And that is for sure. I guess that's what the greatest challenge for remote working is, that energy exchange of your co-workers or, the flow of energies and the flow of ideas and how you translate that remotely and over Zoom or over any such, devices that may not give you that person-to-person interaction, and how you personalize all these things. So of course, I guess that's what my next question would stem off of, that, the major roadblocks and challenges that everybody, whether it's a coach, whether it's a startup counselor, whether it's a startup founder, what have they faced in these trying times for these past, now it's almost a year now, What is it right now for all of them?
I'm not sure it's one thing. It's definitely more than one thing. But I think the things I've noticed that from a coaching perspective, I think it helps a lot to make people responsible for their own activities. Mm-hmm. More delegating, more self-responsibility, more ownership, more free time of people, let them figure it out, let them drive their own timeline, and then use maybe quick morning sessions, stand up and win calls to say what's going on, who's doing what today to stay aligned. And what often seems to be forgotten is like, how can you help each other? I think people have the tendency to look within their own capabilities. That's what I have to do. I think it's still hard for people to ask help. Because we as human beings, we want to do our own thing. We don't want to show to other people that we are sometimes don't have all the answers. And think these kind of calls where as a manager or as a leader of a team, you encourage people to share, but also ask for help in the areas where you need to help each other, I think is definitely an opportunity to keep bringing the people together.
Of course. So this brings me to the last question because we unfortunately have time constraints. But what do you think about companies like Gaper and other such services that help build and scale the engineering teams of startups and other companies looking remotely, especially now when they have absolutely no time and they have absolutely no choice but to hire remotely?
It's interesting. The company I'm working now, Beter Booking, is actually developing an alternative for booking.com in the online travel space. And we have taken the initiative to develop something far more honest, transparent, and come out with a new application from a digital application perspective. We have the luxury that some of the founders of the company have developed their own digital studio first before they did this. And within that company, there are people that are very familiar with lean startup, with building MVPs. So we're using these people to coach us and guide us. And there's actually a person that just plays the role of making sure everything on the canvas is being filled in, is being checked, all the experiences being done. So you could almost call him a bit of a referee, but at the same time, a very experienced person that takes us to the next level and brings us back when pieces are missing. To me, this is a perfect example as where you're leading that the company like Caper could offer startups. I think I've coached startups, I've mentored startups, and often startups have a very strong opinion of the product they want to put in the market. Mm-hmm. What we tend to do is move too fast and don't confirm the experience we are doing that we are on the right path. So we could end up on a dead street with the wrong product market fit. And then if you're starting to scale this kind of examples and find out that we're pouring money on something that's not the perfect fit, then you never get to a scale-up company. So an MVP is even hard to get, but develop an MVP into a scalable business is even harder if you don't do it right. So I would encourage people to spend time and also Caper to help startups for specifically getting all of the assumptions right, all of the blocks on the lean canvas right. Make sure you spend the time to check your problem statement. Make sure you're really convinced that your unique selling proposition is a unique value and not just a solution. And then make sure that you confirm this with the financial plan and your assumptions, that eventually when you start scaling it, it's bringing the revenue growth that you expect. Because if your assumptions are wrong, you will go into the wrong direction. So spend the early times and use Caper in this example as a coach to slow down and to make sure that the experience are shared of how to go slow in the beginning so you can move faster when the foundation is right.
Great.
So I hope this will help a lot of startups to go through that same learning process without the learning pain that I've gone through with some of the companies. So I hope that's a wishful thought and something that you could take forward.
Yeah, something like doing it right the first time rather than doing it wrong 10 times over to find that sweet spot.
But that's easier said than done, because how do you know it's right the first time? And I would even say, make sure that you take as much information in so you think it's right the first time. But if you still find out it's wrong, go back quickly to the beginning, because a mistake is also a good experience to know that that was not the solution. And then you do the next experience and the next one till you find out that you've done all your experience to find the right answer. So there is no wrong answer. There is just an answer that's maybe not as perfect, and you keep looking for the better answer.
As long as it is an informed answer, I guess.
Absolutely.
So you think
don't cut corners in this case.
I'm sure. What do you think? Would companies or founders or other executives want to go back to the old normal than keep this new normal and adopt it as a way of going forward, even in future?
Interesting question. I hear a lot of people that like to have a combination between remote working on one side, but also spending time together where you have to confirm the critical things you are doing, learn from each other. So I think, to me, a hybrid solution is the right thing to do. I think we have been too hesitant in the past to confirm we all have to sit in an office from 9 to 5 and work together. We're, I think, going outside, learn a lot more what's going on, and be more flexible between work-life balance is actually the right thing to do. But at the same time, lock yourself into Zoom meetings the entire day and sitting at home is probably not getting you enough of a discussion with counterparts and being challenged if you have done all your assumptions and all your experience and have enough insight of what's really going out in the market.
Great, thanks for that insight. And thank you so much, Marcel. It was such an enjoyable conversation with you. And we really do hope we are able to bring you back for something different soon. And
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure to be there.
Likewise. All right. So,